Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Casey Patterson.
The story in real time.
We're a much better team now than we were then.
I'm not looking at just this year. I'm looking at the next 4 years.
You're listening to The Net Live with Barney.
You didn't win, so you must not have done a good job.
And DJ Rouché.
I have great thighs.
It's The Net Live right now.
Really, we're on? Really?
Yep. And you're looking at old colleges on your...
Can we be better than last week? Is that possible? Could we be worse than last week?
No, we've had worse shows than last week.
That's true. I've hosted worse shows than last week.
Can't hit him out of the park every time, Kevin.
Kevin Barnett, Jeremy Rouché, and we welcome back Katie.
Yeah,
thanks for coming, Katie.
Good morning.
Katie Charles back in house. And Katie, I'm just looking to see here who your replacement is. It's someone named Cramp.
Hold on. Can we talk about Katie's headset? Did she break it already? Where's the mic? Where's the mic condom?
Oh.
Did I break it already?
Oh, Katie.
Oh, there it is.
She's sitting on it.
Like three or four episodes in, and she's already breaking our new headsets.
We have a new coach that has been named. Amanda Crump has been named head coach at Kenyon College. How do you feel about that, Katie?
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, she's got a good set of kids there. She'll be in fine shape. We have a great recruiting class coming in, so hopefully she keeps it all together.
Formerly at McDaniel College, wherever that is.
Maryland.
Maryland?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Cramp, who in 2010 received a degree in psychology, so she might need that. She was the head coach of the Gettysburg Men's Club. Wow, she coached men for a while. She was in a Viper volleyball club. That's exciting.
Dangerous is what it sounds like.
She inherits a Kenyan team at 4-23? 4-23.
Yes.
Katie. What happened with 4-23?
Our best player broke her foot the first weekend of the season and didn't play all year.
That'll do it to you.
Best player was out 6 of 9 weeks with injuries.
That's no good.
Wasn't a great year. I mean, we still finished fifth in the conference, and that's the highest we finished since the 90s.
Hold on. You won four matches and you were fifth in the conference?
Yep.
How does that even compute? Did someone go -1?
You take it, Kevin. That's what you do. You take it.
You win in the conference tournament. That's how you do it.
How do you get in the conference tournament when you have four wins?
They take eight
conference.
Out of nine. We weren't the bottom team in the conference. We were seventh going in.
So the bottom team in the conference had -1 victories.
Yep.
How would you get -1 victories? How would that be possible?
Well, we played everybody single round robin. And so we went, you know, 2-6 in conference. And then we went to the tournament because we finished seventh.
And then dominated the tournament.
Yeah.
Sandbagging the whole season.
That was the idea.
The tournament.
And
yeah.
Then
sneak
the
up
matches.
On people. So if you win two selfish. Matches, did you go to the semis? Or you went to
we
the finals?
Lost, so we lost. You have to play out for fifth place. So
okay. Oh,
we
I
lost
see.
The first match to the team and ended up in the finals. And
okay.
Then won our next two matches and finished fifth.
I gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, the expectations for volleyball at Kenyon were not particularly high, considering they didn't have a team when I got there 6 years ago. We literally started from nothing, and the top team in our conference won a national title 2 years ago. So it's,
and all the
hope
kids,
we show up.
All the kids are going there to be rocket scientists and brain surgeons.
Yes, doctors, lawyers.
Really?
PhD people. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was happening in Africa.
Yeah, you know, it's surprising.
Not near Uganda, Kevin.
Oh, I was confused. You didn't have your shirt on, so I
That's
was
true.
Beginning to wonder. So it's a very academically rigorous school.
Yes,
Kenyon College.
People we compete against are not.
So the dumb kids are beating you up. I'm not sure that's any better. You have a bunch of smart kids who are getting beaten by dumb kids.
Mm-hmm. No, smart kids are not as tall or as athletic.
As tall.
Hey, what does that mean?
No, suck it, Kevin.
Welcome to the Net Live, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. We're going to have a good show for you today here on the 10th of March, 2014. Rick McLaughlin, head coach of UC Santa Barbara, will join us. He's coming off a good victory over the weekend, a sweep of the UCLA Bruins. UCLA Bruins, whew.
They hit a little mid-season or beginning early season slump right
they
now.
They are struggling, man.
A little injury bug for them, too, it sounds like.
They are struggling. I mean, they beat UC San Diego, but who hasn't? UC San Diego defeated in conference play. Defeated. 0-for. So UCLA got swept by UC Santa Barbara. Rick McLaughlin will be on here. We'll talk to him about that as well as his charity event. I believe that is coming up. We promoted that last week. If you want to support their program.
This weekend?
Yep. Yep. They will be playing, I think, Pepperdine, matter of fact, up there on Friday night. I will be doing the Pepperdine match tomorrow against UCLA. We'll see if UCLA can rebound. We'll see if Pepperdine can rebound after getting beaten 3-1 by Stanford.
I made my first venture to Pepperdine ever this weekend to watch that match.
Did you have a helicopter?
No.
Oh, you're in the Palisades. You're practically there. Yeah, that's as close as you can get.
4 miles from my house, Pepperdine.
Yeah, it's 22 miles from here, but it literally is 2 hours of driving. Yes. Lance Walker will also be on the program, former provider of club sports clothing, as well as junior college and collegiate athlete, and now the head coach at L.A. Pierce Junior College, very much a volleyball person. Lance Walker will join us to talk a lot about different areas, spent some time on the national team as well. Good athlete, played for a long time, and just kind of a fun presence. So we'll have Lance Walker on here. Also, AVCA College Volleyball Weekly. We know we have Jay, and Robbie is a question mark.
I think this is the week he is surfing.
He is.
Yep.
He's in Belize or wherever he is.
Wherever. Not caring one bit about the net live.
And then
selfish,
that's
I think.
When his Irvine team gets a sweep at Hawaii this week. They won both matches down there.
Maybe he needs to do a surf trip more often.
UC Irvine in a dogfight right now to stay in the playoffs. It was good they defeated Hawaii 3-1, but creeping on them is Stanford. Stanford victory yesterday over USC. I was at that match. It was on Pac-12 Networks, 3-0, a win for the TV crew. It was 15-14-22.
It was very fast.
It was very fast.
And then I missed the first game and wasn't almost worth driving over there.
It was still light out when it was over. I mean, I know we're on daylight savings
nice.
Here, but it was still light out and 80 degrees in downtown, by the way. Beautiful evening. I walked out of the arena and headed off to go to the pool at my in-law's place and have a little bit of dinner. That all worked out for me.
I'm just going to point out that you got no sun, apparently.
It was dark by the time I got there.
My
tan well,
is looking better than yours at this juncture. We're not in good shape.
I work for a living, people.
Speaking of pasty white people.
Oh, yes. We have a Jim Polster update?
We have a friend of the show calling in right now.
Friend of the show?
Yeah. Reed Pretty?
Pasty white? I definitely have a pasty white like cap over my head. Because I'm getting all the sun just on my nose and face and back of my neck. But that's just a golf tan.
Oh, man, still with the golf. You are on
life.
This heavy.
Rough life.
Were you allowed to give him crap because I can make it in for the Palisades, but he can't get here for
please do.
Please.
Whoa. It's my 7th anniversary today. I've got all-day plans.
Well, then why are you calling in?
She's still getting ready. You know how it goes.
Okay. Good call. This is your 5-minute window.
So you could have come up here if she's still getting ready, and that's going to take a while, isn't it? I mean, Reed Pretty. You know, I feel like you peaked at Christmas. I feel like you peaked at convention. It's the right time to do it. It's a big show, but
He was here for the best show we had in 2014. He did, like, the mic drop and walked off.
Damn it!
Exactly.
And then he loves it.
Everything was going fine until my lovely wife said that I wasn't working hard enough. And so since then, it's been 5-6 days a week working out. And so I'm back at the ASC, et cetera. And that's my excuse. I'm going with it.
I thought she meant like doing chores and stuff around the house. He's been painting.
No, she saw me drop 10 pounds over Christmas and just freak out.
Most people do not drop weight over the holidays. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Don't complain about it.
Yeah, true that.
Have you been able to regain said pounds, Mr. Pretty?
I am. I'm back to my fight weight.
Well, the
ready
fight's
to,
coming up
ready.
Pretty soon here.
That's right. Yeah, I'm starting to get some texts from guys overseas, and seasons are winding down, and I think everyone's sort of excited to get back and just talking with the assistant coach, Mike Wall, and Matt Furbringer, the schedule is jam-packed with just travel and big match after big match. And I don't know if it's out there. It will be now. But I've been told that we have a World League match happening in Southern California against Russia right here in our backyard. So I think it's going to be at the Pyramid at Long Beach State. And big thanks to Alan Knipe. I heard he was instrumental in making that happen. And that's super exciting, of course, to be able to play against Russia right here in our backyard.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm excited about that, too, because I can drive to said matches instead of going away for the weekend. That'll be good for me. I've also heard rumors about where the other two weekends will be. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I thought it was back-to-back Chicago.
That's what I've heard. I've heard back-to-back Chicago, which means I will be at Frontera Grill. You can find me downtown. I will be at Rick Bayless's restaurant having a lovely meal, as well as the ice cream to finish.
Are the dates? I've heard some of the dates, but are any of these official yet?
3 weeks in a row in June, but I don't know what the division is there. Reed Pretty, do you know?
No, I don't. But I know that we will be the away team at both matches.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's happened before in Chicago, Bulgaria, Poland. Poland, you felt like you were in Poland. It was a true Polish experience. Except for the fact that the floor wasn't so slippery and wet that you turned upside down. I don't think Reed was there for those matches back in the day in Poland, playing in a little gym. It was so hot, and everything was sweaty that literally in the middle of a set, you had to be careful in the middle of a rally because somebody would dive, and there was basically an oil slick across the floor. And we had people go to jump and turn basically upside down. Not pretty. And that was the same match. We had a rally to win a set. One of the Polish players from the box rolled a ball out on the floor.
First of all, what's a set?
Rolled the ball during the rally.
Wow.
Rolled a ball onto the floor.
I think
the referees did anything about it? Nope.
I think as a player, if I was on the court and somebody rolled the ball as I'm going to jump, the next place I was going would be to that player.
There was almost a fight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There were a couple times I've been involved in near fights in volleyball. That was one. The other was the Olympic Games against Italy. That's
nothing like Olympic spirit and fighting.
Saw a good near fight in the Brazilian league. Dustin Watton also chimed in on this. It was posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago.
Somebody came under the net.
The liberos were getting after each other.
Oh, nice.
Chippy little tiny guys who are in the back row.
Is that like goalies in hockey?
No, that's way better. Goalies in hockey be way better.
Okay.
What is this comparable to? Jockeys maybe? Like if Phil Shoemaker got really upset? I think it would be a slap fight for sure. Like a libero fight, it would be a slap fight.
We just had a horse racing jockey reference. I think that's a drink for sure.
Well, again, the caveat must be anytime you're talking about a libero situation, you have to say except Rich Lamborn. It would be a slap fight except if it involved Rich Lamborn.
True that. I'm with you on that.
The libero was easily restrained. That was the funny part. The assistant coaches grabbed him. And the liberos, they're little dudes, 5'7", 5'8". And the assistant coach, put him in a full-body pancake on the ground. And I'm like, there's no way that's happening, except if it's a libero. It happens every time if it's a libero, except if it's Rich Lamborn.
True. It would take the entire team to keep Rich back, I think.
Yeah, I think if I jumped on Rich's back, he would treat me like Yoda and just continue on. He wouldn't even know I was back there.
Make no difference at all.
No,
whatsoever.
No.
That's funny. So, Reed, what are you doing for your anniversary today?
Oh, we've got a full day planned out. It's going to start at the Ruby's Shake Shack. We've never done that down near, right in between Laguna and CDM, Corona Del Mar, and have some breakfast down on the beach, and then we've got some other things planned. And then I think tonight we're going to do Disney by ourselves and ride all the rides that we can't ride with little guy. So
you have read yourself
right on the list.
Kid.
Yes. He'll be with us the majority of the day, but tonight we'll get some fun time. And we're always in overseas, We're always overseas for this holiday, and so this is unique to be able to do some other things. So looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to you guys talking to my old coach, Rick McLaughlin, today.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be heading up to Santa Barbara this weekend for the golf tournament that he's trying to raise money for. He's reached out to the Lion community, seeing as how we don't have an alma mater to support.
Or at least one you should support.
So we're getting behind what he's doing up there, and that should be a great time.
I like how your anniversary is described as a holiday. How should we celebrate this holiday?
How should you celebrate it? Have a great show, Kevin. Do your best.
Just do your best, Kevin. That's all you can ask for.
Oh, really? Again? I already did my best over the weekend twice. I guess I'll have to bring it one more time.
Just bring it. That's all you do, Kevin, is bring it. You only have one
bring
speed.
It.
And, you know, it's not like stress wears on you. You still look like you're 13, so you're doing something right.
Oh, that's so true.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Reed Pretty, what's going on in the gym right now? You mentioned you have the assistant coaches in there. You're back in there training. How many guys are present, and when are you expecting guys back from overseas? What seasons are ending first, do you know?
I just heard from Eric Soji. So I think he, you know, Vienna, Spain, Austria, France, I think Murphy, a lot of guys are in France this year. I think those wind down. You know, if you're going to go deep in the playoffs, then you could be back later. So I would expect maybe Anderson to be back a little bit later. Maybe Max Holt playing with Dynamo. I know that the Champions League Final Four is coming up in the next few weekends. I think it's weekend after next, and that should be something that all of our listeners should tune into. Very exciting stuff. I think the women's is first, so maybe the women's is this weekend. I think Jordan Larson is going to be playing in that. And, you know, Jordan Larson, we've connected, been able to connect with her husband recently, and just a phenomenal career and just kind of under the radar, you know, just because what she's doing is abroad and but just a really special career, and I think just a great player and, you know, playing for a team. You know, not many people get to go from Puerto Rico straight to Kazan and then stay there for 5 years. And I think that's pretty special because, in my mind, Kazan as an organization is sort of the Yankees of our sport overseas. And pretty special. So she'll be playing in the Final Four. I'm not sure what other American girls are going to be in the Final Four. But, yeah, some exciting stuff out there. I was able to catch the Long Beach BYU match on Friday night. My family and I drove up there. And
Battle of the Taylors.
Yeah, very, very impressed with just the level. I think it's great. And I was also impressed with how many guys the home team suits up and puts on the bench. It's like their own little fraternity on the sideline. It's crazy to me. That was one of the first things that we were talking about, was like there's literally 30 guys on the bench for Long Beach right now. And then when we went to the SC game, it was the same thing. SC had it was I don't know. Maybe all this contraction of NC2A men's volleyball just equals 40 athlete rosters. On the teams that actually do have a program. But the level was good, and, you know, it's a good match. It's good to see a lot of people there.
Yeah, do they have a blue curtain? That's a fine question, Katie Charles. Has anyone else gone to the UCLA system where they put you behind the curtain and just say, well, maybe we'll see in a couple years? What SC match did you go to? This is the one a while back?
Yeah, SC-UCLA. I saw you there.
Yeah, I remember that. I just didn't know if you went to one this week, Katie said. Okay, I saw Katie at one match. Jeremy said he was at the Pacific USC match. That was all of 15, 20 minutes long this past week. So, yeah, good you're making it out to some college matches here, Reed Pretty, and checking it out. What do you think post-volleyball holds for you? Besides, of course, a spot on the senior PGA once you're eligible.
Yeah, that's I have no idea, Kevin. Just trying to I will say that you know, celebrating 7 years of marriage is a fabulous thing. We have done a really good job of living the other life. And so now that we're sort of taking this small pause, we're learning all sorts of new things about ourselves and our relationship and where we want to go and who we want to be. And it's a whole nother challenge, and it's kind of cool to be able to experience it for this short period of time, but I'm excited to get back to doing what I do best and playing and competing and what's after that. I have no idea. Just hope I can be a good husband, a good father, and I don't know, be a great golfer. You know, that order was probably, I probably should have used good golfer too. So, good husband, good father, an okay golfer. It's okay for me. But, hey, I don't want to be here too long. So you guys enjoy your show. Thanks for all your hard work, and say hi to Rick for me.
Will do. All thanks, right. Reed Pretty, for checking in.
See you in June.
All right.
You heard it from Reed Pretty. We have a couple of national team opportunities coming up. If you're in Southern California, Long Beach State Pyramid. The Pyramid going to play host to the national team one weekend in June, as well as Chicago twice. And I'm here in University of Illinois at Chicago, where they played years ago when that arena was brand new. It was the Cicada year. That was a lot of fun. I remember that.
The Cicada year.
The Cicada year, yep. Okay. 17-year cicadas were out, which meant millions,
yeah,
perhaps tens of millions of cicadas all over the place, making tons of noise, crawling up the trees. It was pretty cool. But a 45-minute drive between the hotel and the arena, because the arena is a not-so-nice part of Chicago. So we'll see if that changes this next time. We also have Hoffman Estates, is what I'm hearing. So you heard it from Reed Pretty. Don't get upset, USAV, at what I know or don't know.
I didn't say anything.
I hear rumors. I hear things. I hear things. You know, I hear things.
Speaking of the national team, I don't know if you're friends with Matt Furbringer on Facebook, but
who?
Matt Furbringer.
Oh.
You know, the assistant
Manhattan
coach.
Beach champion?
Yeah.
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 Manhattan Open champion?
There's a photo of him online. He's overseas with a middle blocker whose name I cannot pronounce. This dude right here.
That dude right there. Okay. That's
the name.
Yeah. Ratajak.
Sure.
Polish guy.
So Matt Furbringer, 6'8". Mm-hmm. The guy standing next to him,
7 footer.
A good 4 to 5 inches taller than Matt.
Yeah, he's going 7 foot. He's a big dude.
The guy's huge.
What's Matt scouting overseas? Just
could be.
Catching
I think
up with the guy?
I know he's overseas checking in on some.
Maybe
of
he's
players.
Winning a national championship. Hey. You know, club championship.
Guy just he's
come
just,
out of retirement.
Just
winner.
A winner.
Hashtag winner.
Hashtag winner.
Hashtag I want to take a selfie.
I've never taken a selfie in my life. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Have you heard the song?
It's awful.
it's awful good though.
It'll be gone in a month. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, but it's fantastic awful.
No.
Yeah,
no,
you can be really fantastic awful.
No.
Didn't we say the same thing about that What Does the Fox Say song?
That's no, that was really awful.
Yeah, kids love that one. What about all right, hold on. What is the name of it? Just Selfie? Is that the name of the song? Selfie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hashtag Selfie.
Hashtag Selfie versus What Would the Fox Say?
No.
Versus, hold on, this is a three-man race
here.
Versus Friday by Rebecca Black.
I'm going Selfie.
Really?
100%.
Really?
Yep.
Over the auto-tune, just sticky bubble gum.
Because at least the beat is decent for the Selfie. But What Would the Fox Say? Like, I want to punch. First of all, let me.
Oh, I see. Wait. You said Selfie was the best of the three.
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking worse. Okay, so Selfie was the best of those three.
Oh, yeah. The Fox song is the worst.
That's the worst. Okay, you're putting Rebecca Black in the middle.
Unfortunately. Those were my only choices, Kevin, so that's all I could do.
Can we play hashtag Selfie on the program?
I don't have it. That's
no.
How bad it is. I don't even want it on my computer.
Wow.
I don't have the Fox song on there, and I don't have the Friday song on there.
My boys love the Fox song.
Because here's what you have to realize. The events that I don't do events where people are going to ask me for those songs.
Okay.
Probably speaks to your taste in music more than anything.
Well, don't get me wrong. There are songs on my laptop that I do not like that I have to have. Don't get me wrong. But there are some songs I will just take a stand and be like, I'm not playing that ever. Ever.
Okay. Makes sense. The
but
Chainsmokers. That's
Kevin
who does this song?
It.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'll get a freaking commercial first.
And you're not even plugged in, so nobody's going to hear it.
It's terrible.
What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
I don't know. Well, you stole my cord, first of all.
That's plugged into my computer. Who does the music on the show, you or me?
We all know.
Yeah.
We all know when the music goes bad, who's doing it.
Yeah, see, the beat is good.
That's a good beat?
It's just, the song is awful.
I've never heard this song.
Exactly.
This
is great radio. let's take a selfie.
Okay, do you notice she threw the DJ under the bus in the first phrase? Maybe that's why you don't like that song.
I am not a fan of, I'm just going to make the super cheesiest song I can right now to get popular. Like, Chainsmokers have been around as music producers for a long time. Yeah, that was David Hasselhoff.
They have Hasselhoff in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Several times.
Yep.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I heard this and thought it was a commercial for something.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Hasselhoff again.
Look, don't get me wrong. This song is, I mean, it's going to sell a lot of copies.
Oh,
it's going to be popular.
It's very clever.
It's going to be popular for a month or two, and then there's going to be backlash. Nobody's going to want to hear it ever again.
It's such a view into, like, the mind of an insecure woman. like you listen
to
that.
Don't
like,
narrow it down to them. Like, some of my, they're not my friends anymore, but some of my guy friends.
Oh, yeah.
Their entire Instagram page is just selfies of themselves.
No, I don't mean the selfie part. I mean just the way she's like, you see how short she is?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that whole thing.
Sadly, this is pretty sad. I mean, they're pretty accurate, but
it's like the beginning.
It kind of makes me a little sad.
It's like the beginning of Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. Becky, look at her butt.
It's so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great radio. You're still watching the video.
I know. I can't help it. I can't help it.
Kind of like watching a train wreck.
It is. Hey, we got to take a quick break. On the other side, we are going to have...
No, what if I played selfie right now?
That would be epic.
It's not going to happen.
That would be epic. We'll have Lance Walker on the other side of the break here, junior college head coach at L.A. Pierce Junior College and overall volleyball guy.
I feel like that's like a good Star Wars name.
Lance Walker?
Yeah.
It's like...
Doesn't it sound... You know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't it be in Star Wars?
Yeah.
You've already got a Skywalker. I don't know if you can add another one.
It's like
there.
His cousin.
Well, that's what he got called, a Skywalker. This is a guy who once had 60-plus kills, broke the junior college record. And I think he – I don't know if he had 60 at Pep. I'll have to ask him, but I think he definitely had 60 in junior college. So this guy could flat-out jump and hit the ball. Not sure he could pass. We'll razz him about his passing. We'll give him a hard time.
Well, if he can jump and hit, why do you need to pass?
Wonder why there aren't more opposites in the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. There are none.
Oh,
all right.
When we get back to it, can we talk about – how indoor rules of your hands and chowder and throws and all that stuff just don't matter anymore.
Yeah, I like that.
Not the men's game. Ooh.
Yeah. Man. I'm going to go back to this song.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to take a break.
Okay. We'll be back. Why is it when I look up Lance Walker
Star Wars
in
up?
Google, I get the first image that comes up is a guy in a penitentiary. I'm not sure why Lance is fourth.
That can't be good.
I see Lance there in the fourth spot, but I don't see him until that spot. I see some guy that is in prison looking a little bit like Raising Arizona in the very beginning.
That's right. For a while there, and Cam Kerr probably knows this, that there is a big drug lord in Canada who has the same last name as me, spelled exactly the same way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? What's he dealing? What kind of drugs are you talking about?
I think he was in the United States, and he got arrested. That was the big news.
Really?
Yeah. Good thing I wasn't put on the no-fly list after that, but
no doubt.
Because there's not that many people have my last name, and about 90% of people that do, we are related. So I'm sure there's some way, shape, or form we are related.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, sorry, Lance, that you have a guy in the pen that looks just like you, or has your same name.
By the way, if you haven't seen Raising Arizona...
Great movie.
Fantastic film.
Great segue.
It is an unbelievable film. Like, we should play some of that. The beginning of Raising Arizona. H-I. When he's, like, hitting on Holly, or was it Holly Hunter?
Yeah.
When he's hitting on her each time he goes into the pen, turn to the right, turn to the right. Just freaking classic.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Lance Walker here. I just learned something new about Lance Walker just now. This is a guy who played at L.A. Pierce Junior College as a player, would go on to star at Pepperdine University after his days at Pierce, and then play internationally. Belgium, Turkey, Greece, Puerto Rico, Switzerland. He pulled the full tour. 6 years and 8 months, according to his biography here. And he was a teacher for 6 years in the Los Angeles Unified School District. I wonder if he get hazard pay for that one. He's worked with Gold Medal Squared, and now... For the last year and a half, he has been the head coach at L.A. Pierce Junior College, as well as the owner of W2W Print. Please welcome into the Net Live for the first time, Lance Walker. Lance!
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening? Boy, you know, I'm learning something new about you here. A teacher? Really?
Yeah.
Middle and high school?
When I was playing overseas, when I came home, I would substitute teach for LAUSD, and I was a city section kid, and I went to North Hollywood High School, and so when I got to kind of come back, I'd pick up PE classes. I also went to school at the North Hollywood Zoo Magnet, so I was actually would go back and. Help out some of the science classes over there as well. So I've got, it was pretty fun, kept me active. I really enjoyed it. But
yeah, how was it being that substitute? Substitute is a tough spot.
It keeps you on your toes. You got to really come up with creative ways to keep the kids active. I mean, I remember when I was, a student and, of course, everybody knows, hey, when the substitute teacher's there, you're like, sweet, free day. So I had to come up with, like, fun games, to play to get the kids to get their work done because, if you don't get their work done and you don't get called back and that's what the teacher needs, you got to kind of stay on schedule. So I came up with, like, fun games like Walker Ball, which was I set up a Nerf basketball hoop in the classroom. And basically I'd set up, two teams with, between the class and, we'd go through the lesson activity and give a kid a question. If they got it right, then they got to step up to the line. And there was like either a 1-pointer, a 3-pointer, or you could go all the way back to the end of the classroom and get a 10-pointer and they'd shoot for one shot and, try to score something for their team. And it was, it kept them active. And, every once in a while a kid would hit a 10-pointer and, the class would just absolutely erupt and just go crazy. So, they're calming back down. But it was, it kept them active. It kept them paying attention. And, it got the work done. So that was, but again, substitute teaching, my hat's off to all those teachers out there that do that. It's, you really got to be creative and you got to be on your toes every day because, you never know what call you're going to get about 5 a.m. when somebody calls in sick. So.
Yeah. Is going 6'5", 220 helpful in substitute teaching?
Yes, it is definitely. When you're working like the middle schools and you're working like the high schools, the inner city and kind of the, the rougher areas. The physical presence, walking in a classroom, definitely it helps. I don't think I've had a kid really talk back to me. Guys are, even the knuckleheads, they stay in line when you're that tall. So, that was definitely an advantage. And then, the PE classes, it was nice. I could dunk on the kids and that was fun as well. So,
Just dunking on middle schoolers.
You got to do it, Hey.
You quit popping off or I'm going to tomahawk you. I love it. Well, let me take you back to your playing days. For those that don't know, Lance, you ended up at L.A. Pierce Junior College. First of all, how'd you end up at L.A. Pierce? People get there in a variety of different ways. It's where I went to junior college, and I got there in kind of a weird way. But what had you land under the guise of Big Daddy Ken Stanley?
Yeah, I think it was, I'd have to say sometimes things happen for a reason, I went to North Hollywood. I was a basketball player. I played basketball pretty much, my whole life. And I picked up volleyball the last year to 2 years of high school. They had a volleyball team, and it was either that or run track, and I didn't really like running, and I enjoyed team sports, and so I decided to kind of hang out and play some volleyball in the off seasons, and I thought they were great complementary sports. The footwork, jumping. It was also a non-contact sport, so my coach didn't have to worry about me getting injured, which was nice, for basketball. And then when I came to Pierce, they didn't have a basketball team; they had a volleyball team. And I saw on this post that was in the back offices. It said tryouts, 6:30 a.m. In the gym the next day. And I was like, man, 6:30 a.m. That's pretty early. I decided, hey, I'll try it out. They don't have a basketball team, and I still want to play sports. And I walked in the gym, and I'd have to say, Ken, I was definitely a basketball player. I had 4 pairs of shorts on. I had a cutoff shooting shirt. I had my high tops, no socks. That was, I definitely came in, and I just was probably the worst player. I was goofy footed. I couldn't swing a ball. I literally would just jump up, palm the ball, and just throw it down. It was just kind of one of those things. And I think I was just really fortunate, and the timing of really kind of going through the volleyball process from beginning to to end. I was really blessed that I was able to be in a gym with great teachers, and Ken Stanley being one of the great teachers. We know him as Big Daddy, because he just is he's a father to us all. That's all his Brahmas. And, he was coaching here for about 25 years. He took over, he took over the program in 1975. And I was kind of at the tail end of, of his coaching career. He was kind of more helping out. The head
you
coach
drove
at the time
out?
Was, yeah, I actually know he was already, pretty much retired before I got there. So, but he was still helping out, because it was actually Turhan Douglas and Dave Smith were the head coaches and the assistant coach. And, those are 2 Brahmas, great Brahmas. And, and Big Daddy was there, and he was there to help out. And, I think one of the great and most humbling, things that he said was after tryouts, he brought me into the office, where I'm sitting right now, which is kind of cool. And he says, you're not much. And when I say that, I'm really giving you a lot. And, I was like, okay. I mean, Ken really, he tell you how it is, whether you want to hear it or not, he's going to tell you, this is where you stand. And this is what you need to do, if you want to be successful, and that, came with the stuff off the court and on the court. And he was just, he was just a great mentor, and still to this day, I saw him at the Santa Barbara game. We went to Santa Barbara and played at Santa Barbara City. He came to our game, and, even now, I'll call him up and, ask him questions. And, Marv Dunphy, another Brahma, he would say that, Ken Stanley, he's the Brahma's moral compass. And he's just a great guy, and he built an awesome program. And it was a great starting point for me. I was just really happy that you know, that I was able to learn volleyball, to learn, you know, his, I guess his things were, you know, you got to be early to be on time. If you're five minutes early, you're late, you know that. And, you know, any job, big or small, do it right or don't do it at all. You know, got us to work hard. You know, you be humble, you keep your head down, you grind. And, you know, with those standards that, you know, he really implemented into us, you know, in training and, you know, just keeping us, I think, just humble Brahmas, it was, you know, I definitely have those traits, you know, and I still, you know, set those standards now, you know, and even though I'm not a player and, you know, now working on, you know, businesses and, you know, or working for other companies, you know, like Gold Medal Squared or Mars Camps, you know, it's just, you know, you come in, you work hard, you do your job and, you know, and I'm just very, you know, it's very, very blessed and very fortunate. To be able to be in the gym, you know, with him, and you know, now I'm holding the torch, and it's I never would have expected, you know, that, you know, coming to Pierce, that one day I'd actually be a volleyball player, and you know, and two, you know, have the career that I had, and now coaching, and now really my goal is to just, you know, I hope guys can do the same thing, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, the Big Daddy stuff, I've passed some of that on. My kids will say you have to be early to be on time, and that's where that comes from. But, hey, Lance, speaking of your playing career, all right, give me your all-time kills record at Pierce. What was your match high? This is old-school volleyball, too. This is not rally era, right?
So this dates me now. So, yeah, we're getting older, right? So, this was in side-out scoring, and we were – it was my third year. This was in 2000 when we won the state championship. And I redshirted my first year because, once again, I was pretty raw. And then my second year I played middle. And then my third year I got moved out to opposite. And that was under Greg Brnovich and Mark Lee and Charles Gage. They were the coaches during that time. And we the year before that, in 99, we lost to Golden West. And I think Golden West had 5 years in a row of a pretty impressive run of state championships. And
it might have started against
me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey. They had some pretty amazing players, you know, that went through that program. And and then in 2000 we met Golden West again in the state finals. And you know, it went five sets. We went down, I think, the first set. It was, I want to say it was 13-15 Golden West. And then we came back, we won the next one, I think 15-13. And then we just got absolutely just smoked, in the third set. I want to say it was like 15-3 or 15-4. I mean, it was, they went after it. And then in the fourth set, we really battled. And, I think the final score there, because there was a point cap at 17, we got locked in at 16-16, and we must've gone around about eight rotations. And, you know, it was Bo Daniels was my setter at the time, and he kind of looked at me and says, "Hey, man, I'm going to set every ball. And I'm like, hey, just do it. You don't have to tell me that. You know, that's a lot of pressure. Just do it. Like, well, you know, we're here." And I think what ended up happening is, you know, it's just we were going side out after side out after side out, and finally, you know, there was this, you know, one play. I think there was an overpass, and Ryan Murdoch, our 6 foot middle, just a beast of a man, and goes up and just hits this overpass, and we win 17-16, and we went into the fifth set, and we ended up winning, I think it was 15-9 in the fifth set. And it was just, I think it was one of those games that was about 2.5 hours and, you know, or 3 hours long, and it's just an absolute grinding battle. And you know, in that game, I had 62 kills, and we won the state championship, and that was, you know, that was my last game that, you know, I played for Pierce College, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool, and probably to this day, you know, the best game, you know, that I've ever been a part of, you know, and played with. But it was pretty cool. It was really cool, and then, you know, Pierce, we went on a run of 3 years after that, we won state championships. So. It was pretty neat. It was a really good time, I think, for the Brahmas, and you know, is a lot of hard work that was put into to get to that point. And I think we just had a great team, you know, from Bo as a setter. We had a libero, James Taruk, who I took a ball off the face in the middle of the game. I, you know, had a bloody nose. I don't even think he remembered that we won the state championship until about 2 months later when he came to. But, you know, he ran off the sideline. He put some cotton in his nose, ran right back in. He's like, let's go, you know. And it was just one of those games, and it just a team victory, you know, all the way around. And but just a hard-fought battle. And, again, you know, back to the – you know, you got to work hard to, you know, back to Big Daddy stuff. You know, it's, you know, those things, they come through, you know, and it was pretty cool. It was really cool. So that was my, it's that in a nutshell, you know, or, you know, that was pretty much the Pierce days, you know, for me, which is pretty neat. That's
a large nutshell. You you go to Pepperdine, and you play at Pepperdine for a couple of years. You have an opportunity to play for Mark Dunphy and then go to the international game. What did you take from your international career that you've brought back to business and to coaching?
I would say on the international side, you know, I was kind of a – you know, I played in a lot of different countries. I had I was the first American with Colin McMillan to sign in Turkey, which is pretty cool. You know, and experience that culture. I played there for 3 years and, you know, in Greece and, you know, and also in Belgium and Switzerland. And I think really the being able to live in another country, to be able to absorb the cultural aspect of it, not to be there as a tourist, but to really live there and to, you know, I guess there's something a little bit different, you know, and each culture, I think, in this world, or each country in this world and culture has really something unique that sets them apart. And and really kind of coming back, you know, to our melting pot of the USA, you know, and bringing those things back. I think I was just kind of, I was very blessed that I was able to see the world. I was very blessed that I was able to experience a lot of, you know, different cultures to come back. One of my best friends is Turkish that actually played here at Pierce, Ozreskaya. And, you know, it's humbling to be able to go live in his country and experience his cultures, you know, while he did the same over here. You know, I think the, we're all the same people, you know, and it's
yeah, that's what you take away from it at the end, huh? No matter where you go,
really
everybody
are.
Wants the same thing.
It doesn't matter. It's amazing, Kevin. Like we when I was in Istanbul, and I think it was 2003, we had a bombing that went off, and it was the I think it was a British bank, a consulate, and a Jewish synagogue got hit. And we were warming up in the gym, and we just finished running around, and we were stretching. And the bank was probably about maybe a half a mile to a mile away from our gym. And, I mean, it was so close, we felt the percussion blast go through the gym and, like, through our chest. And, you know, I looked around, and, you know, I looked at the, you know, we had a Canadian guy on our team, and this guy Jason and Colin, and we kind of looked at each other and were like, man, that was pretty close, you know. And when we got back home, you know, we walked back home after practice, the community that was there stopped us, and they said, hey, you know, Americans, like, we want to let you know that these are not Turks. Like these are bad people. We hate this just as much as you do. You know, if you guys don't want to leave your house, you want to go to the market, we'll bring the food to you. You know, if you want a meal, you know, or dinner or something, we'll deliver it to you. You know, if you need anything, please, we're here to help you. Don't worry. You guys are safe. We'll keep you safe. And, you know, it was really something that was that really touched my heart. And it was something that was just like, you know, it was something special, you know. It was the fact that it was just like, you know, even here you have, you know, in California we got earthquakes. You know, people come together. And, you know, whenever something like that, you know, or, you know, goes on, it's you really see the true people, you know. And I thought that was really nice. And that was an experience that, you know, it was kind of an eye-opening thing that, you know, hey, you know, this was in our backyard. But at the same time, it was, you know, it was something that was like, you know, these are people just like us, you know. And, you know, no matter what, I think when things go bad, there's just goodness in everyone. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes bad things have to happen in order for that to be extracted. But I thought it was just a really nice gesture of something that, you know, I will always, you know, be very thankful for. I had an amazing time in Istanbul, you know, and this was probably the first I want to say a month and a half or 2 months that I was there. And, you know, and I lived there for, you know, 9 months. And then I continued. I went back there for two more seasons and played there, you know, afterwards. And it was, you know, I think it was really the response of my community that I was living in. And I always try to be a good, a good diplomat of the USA as well when I went there. You know, give out pins, give out T-shirts. I mean, they love that stuff. It goes a long way. And just to be thankful. So, yeah, it was I think just people are people, you know, wherever you go. And I think that was probably one of the biggest things that I took back from living overseas. And just, you know, you be kind, you get it back. It's great.
All right, so you come back now. You've retired as a player. You're no longer doing that. You're coaching. But you've also been involved in the sportswear side of things. Tell me about the launching of sportswear companies and providing the clothing that players practice in.
Yeah, I started when I came back from, you know, I guess you're talking to Reed, right? And Reed was saying, hey, you know, I'm a player and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what am I going to do when I'm done? And I think that's one of the things that us players, when you do come back, it's like, okay, now that part of my life is over and, you know, what am I going to do now? You know, I still got about 2/3 or more of my life to, you know, to give back. And, you know, what's my niche now that I'm no longer, you know, a player? Like I used to be called Lance Skywalker and now I'm kind of, you know, just Lance Walker again. You know, the hops are going away as you get older and, you know, the body kind of
Jeremy still thinks
down,
you should be in Star Wars.
I love it. So, yeah. So it's when I came back, I was teaching, which I really love doing, and I still do that. I consider myself a coach and teaching, but I also noticed that a lot of my friends who are coaches, they needed uniforms and they needed T-shirts, and so my father. As a graphic design artist, and I started to learn the programs, and kind of growing up in that field, I started to do a lot of graphic art, and started designing, and then from there that turned into some making T-shirts, and then I went out and started looking at different technologies of how to print these graphics on garments and different fabrics, and just kind of was running around and found out some cool printing processes, and we started looking at sublimation, which is kind of this transferring process, which is really it's what you kind of find on a lot of bicycle uniforms. And I wanted to try to find a uniform that wasn't restricting the player. I remember having those heat press numbers that were on the front of the chest, and, when you slide and hit the ground on certain courts, you just stick, and that's where you get those, split chins and all that stuff. And,
I just couldn't dive. It had nothing to do with the jersey. I just wasn't very good at diving.
Just falling tree, right? Just kind of a falling tree. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of like that Geico commercial. Oh, here I go.
That's it. So we started to get into some, I started looking at sublimation technology and, started shaking hands, met some great vendors, and, I'd like to say that I'm creating uniforms and designing uniforms that are helping, the sport and not restricting the player. At the same time, creating some graphics. Like I just made one for the PVL for the Penn Blast. It's out of Penn State. I just created their new logo and, got a call back and they absolutely loved it. And, it's for me now, it's kind of cool that, when kids are walking around the ASC or, or even Pierce guys, they're wearing shirts that I've created and designed and, they feel good about it. And, if they feel good and they're playing good, hey, that's half the game right there,
All right,
and,
Lance, if somebody wants to get in touch with your company, if they need jerseys or shirts, where do they go?
You can go to info. You send me an email. It's info@w2wprint.com, and it's the number 2. So it's W2wprint. I have a web store. I do create web stores as well, kind of online web stores that I do a lot of digital print and sublimation printing. They can check that out at w2wprintshop.com. And that's kind of an example of just a store type that I can create, but they're real customizable. I do it for fundraising. I like to help out nonprofits. I do a lot of work with the UCLA Johnson Cancer Center Foundation. We have a store for them, just for donations. And You know, and basically the some of the web stores that I also create, they're for programs that are having a hard time fundraising, and I'll create a store for them, and you
sounds
know they
like
put their markup.
Five.
Yeah, there you go, right? So, and that's it. You know, if I can help the program out, you know, if we can keep one more volleyball team out there, you know, going, you know, I think it's great that the sport's growing right now. You know, and more kids are playing it, which is just awesome. You know, it's done so much for me as a player. You know, and I think I just think it's a great sport. There's just great people in this sport. A lot of coaches really care, you know, not so much about winning and losing, but just in life. You know, with like Marv and Big Daddy and, you know, and they're, you know, it's great to kind of give back, you know, and that's kind of how I feel at what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm working on my master's right now in coaching, and you know, I'm teaching here at Pierce, and it's
very
great.
Cool.
I'm finding my niche now that I'm no longer a professional, you know, volleyball player. And,
very cool.
It's real cool. Yeah, it's real cool.
Hey,
yeah.
Lance, thanks for being on here. Before we let you go, just tell us quickly who's going to win the state championship this year. Give me a name.
Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna have to say, you know, I can't go against my Brahmas. You know, we're hardworking, we're a young team this year, but you know, right now, Orange Coast is looking pretty good. I believe they're undefeated right now, you know, we got a pretty good lineup this week with SMC and Long Beach at home, so it's gonna be fun. So if you guys can come on out Wednesday, Friday, 6 o'clock at Pierce, I think Travis over at OCC, Orange Coast College, they're looking good. He's got a good team this year. You know, we played them. He's got some good guys over there, and they're good kids too. And they're real humble guys, very respectful. They play the game the right way. I was pretty impressed with his team so far, and so
awesome.
Yeah, but we'll see. You know, it's going to come down to the playoffs. It's anybody's game once you get to the playoffs, and it should be pretty cool. So, and before we go, Kevin, I know I talk a lot, but I want to kind of give you a congratulations for being inducted into the Hall of Fame over here. And so,
thank you.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, Big Daddy, Marv Dunphy. You know, now we're going to have you, and I think. The team of 92 and also Bob Samuelson is also going to be in that class as well. So congratulations, man. And thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it. Tell Rick I said hello. He was a volunteer assistant over at Pepperdine when I was over there. Great guy. I think it's great what he's doing up there with fundraising his golf tournament too. So I got to work on that game now.
Cool. Hey, thanks for the nomination, Lance. And thanks for the time here today. Good luck the rest of the year. Hope the Brahmas do well. And take out OCC. I have no love for OCC.
I know. Ooh, go Brahmas.
They,
you know it.
They ruined our perfect season. All right.
I know.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it, man. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. W2W Print, if you want to get something made, talk to Lance Walker about it. I'm going to talk to him about my custom T-shirt push here, my own personal.
Personal.
I want to wear my own custom T-shirts
Kev
all the time.
Barn.
Yeah, it'll just be it'll just say
t-shirt.
Barnett on them all the time.
Nice.
Yeah, purple T-shirts, most assuredly purple T-shirts.
Say Barney.
Yeah, Lance Walker, I'm glad he said that at the end. I know I talk a lot. Yes, Lance, but great job here on the show. Great information from him.
62 kills.
62 in a five-set match. My own personal record, 45, twice.
62.
Never got 62.
Jeremy, what was your record?
Not 62.
I love the Ken Stanley quote. You're not much, and when I say that, I'm giving you a lot. That's one of my all-time favorites. I don't recall Big Daddy saying that to me, but he had some pretty honest things to say to me at my time there, too. Big Daddy Ken Stanley, one of the great individuals, may have said this on the program before, that he's a better man than he is a volleyball coach.
Nice.
And a pretty good volleyball coach, but a fantastic man. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity to have Ken Stanley in my life, and I am honored to be joining him in that Hall of Fame come up May time. So, yeah, 62 kills for Lance Walker.
I'm also glad to hear that you are instilling in your children to be early.
Got to be early to be on time.
Drives me crazy. I understand L.A. traffic.
Yeah.
So that gives you like a 10, 15-minute window.
You got to prepare for that.
I hate
agree.
Being late. I hate it.
It drives me crazy. But when other people are late and it's, like, on my time, then I feel like you are disrespecting me.
Like, I even feel bad. I was driving up to a match, World League match, actually a studio voiceover. And I went up to West L.A. to have lunch with my wife. She was working there at the time. Mm-hmm. And as I'm having lunch, I have, I think it was a 4 o'clock call or 5 o'clock call maybe.
You're having
in
lunch
the valley.
At noon.
As I'm having lunch at noon, maybe it was a 3 o'clock call because it's closer. But I'm having lunch at noon to 1 or so. I figure, okay, I've got plenty of time. I'll get there an hour before the broadcast. I'll hang out, do a little research. As I'm having lunch, the Sepulveda Pass catches on fire. So now the Sepulveda Pass is burning.
Where you need to go.
The 405 is shut down. Now, basically, all you have to do, for those that don't know L.A. geography, I'm on one side of a set of mountains. I need to go to the other side of said mountains.
Said mountains that are burning.
That are burning. But normally that trip takes from West L.A. to the studio would take me maximum 20 minutes door to door. From the moment I walked out, got in my car, to the moment I walked in the studio door.
Yeah.
20 minutes. It took me more than 2 hours because the freeway's closed, and now I got to take the back roads over the top, and they are packed.
I just would have drove home.
And so I called, and I said, I'm late, and this and that, and they said, that's cool, but I still feel bad about being late. I hate being
And they're like, why are you late? And you're like, the mountain is on fire.
Yeah.
Not very many people get to say that, Kevin.
No, they were cool about it, because I knew I was holding everybody up.
I was doing
up.
My hair, I woke up late, blah, 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 blah. No. The mountain is on fire.
The mountain's on fire.
Yeah. No, I hate being late. I can't. That stresses me out. Yep, absolutely stresses me out.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
Yep.
If I'm not 10 minutes early, I struggle with that.
If I have a broadcast, I'm on site, hour and a half minimum, 2 hours, more like it, previous to the match.
Yep.
Basketball, this past weekend, Honda Center, I was there 2 hours early. Having a little Togo sandwich. Hadn't had Togo's.
Togo's.
I've never had Togo's that I can remember. Man, it was good. They'll take your salad, they'll wrap it in a wrap.
They're not in the Smoothie King category.
No. No, they're not pretending to be something they are not. That's what bugs me about Smoothie King the most. You know.
We got on the subject again.
Oh, the Smoothie King will always be talked about.
It's like you're a steakhouse and you somehow pretend that you sell chicken. I don't know. It's that you're not a smoothie joint. You're a candy bar.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I can come up with a better comparison.
That
was terrible. That's 2 weeks in a row I've had bad comparisons.
I'm
going to hear about it later, too.
Can't knock it out of the park every time.
Oh,
Can't knock it out of the park every time.
Well, all right, so let's take a short break. We're going to be right back with Jay Hossack here on the Net Live. We're going to talk about the AVCA College Volleyball Weekly. Crazy things going on. It continues to be the up-and-down performance of these teams inside the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. Basically, one game between you being in 10th or 9th and out of the playoffs, and maybe 6th or 5th, or if it's 2 matches, 4th, and all of a sudden you're hosting.
Wow.
Think about this. Stanford yesterday,
yep.
Coming into that match, they had 5 5-set losses. If they had won, and they sit in 9th, if they had won 2 of them, they were in 5th. If they'd won 3 of those matches, just 3 of 5, not a crazy number, 3 of 5, maybe 6 total extra points in a 5th set, they would be 3rd in the MPSF. That's how close it is.
Wow.
It's gnarly.
Well, can't wait to hear about it.
The MPSF, it's gnarly. You're welcome, Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. You can use that.
New T-shirts.
We'll be right back. The Net Live.
Well, I'm getting
old. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Hashtag selfie.
Hashtag selfie.
I'm going to start playing it again.
Chasing down the sun.
right, Jeremy, who is this?
The Wild Feathers. You would not have heard this before. Probably nope. Nobody on listening has heard this before because they're fairly new.
Are they available?
Online, iTunes.
The Wild Feathers.
Saw them live Wednesday night, thanks to Nicole Ray.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Way to go, Ray.
Yep. Troubadour.
She's pretty good to you.
She is. There's no doubt about that. There is.
There's some good t-shirt recommendations going on in the chat board right now.
Texas Troll really wants a purple shirt.
It says, I love Barney on the back.
Yep. And I suggested maybe one that says, in Barney we trust.
Oh, that'd be good.
And then he said, or Barney loves Smoothie King.
Barney plus Smoothie King equals match made in heaven. That's too long. Barney plus Smoothie King equals perfect. I don't know. Crazy delicious?
It could be like the Run DMC shirt which says Barney on top with a heart and then Smoothie King underneath it. You know, in that in the Run DMC format.
You know what I'm gonna get? One of my custom T-shirts should be the Ghostbusters symbol and Smoothie King. Smoothie King with the Ghostbusters over it.
You are never going to be. What is it? Brooklyn? What arena is it? That's the Smoothie King Stadium now.
That's in New Orleans,
isn't
it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Pelicans.
Pelicans. They have so many things going wrong with them. Called the Pelicans.
They have Smoothie King as their spot.
Smoothie
First of
King
all,
Stadium. Like, can you ever really call it Smoothie King Stadium?
God, I hope not.
Smoothie King. It's embarrassing.
Sean Manzi. Barney plus Smoothie King equals great thighs.
Frickin' Smoothie King. You're not a smoothie shop. Do not even have it in your name. Smoothie King. You're even saying you're the best smoothie shop.
Because you're the Smoothie King.
If
who,
it said, if it said Milkshake King, if it said Sugar Cup of Death King,
sugar
that would make more sense to me.
Diabetes in a cup.
Diabetes King, that would be fine.
So in other words, to go above King, you'd have to be Smoothie God. Is that what you're saying?
That would be Jamba.
Jamba Juice?
Gods of smoothies.
Jamba Juice isn't exactly much better, so.
Well, it is better.
You can get the all-fruit ones, but they're still.
I don't go ice cream there. Protein
where?
Berry workout.
Ice cream where? Jamba Juice?
Yeah, they have like the non-fat yogurt. Also
no,
the non-fat
I've
yogurt.
I've discovered Robex. That's the new one.
But you want to know what's in? All right, here's my recommendation for a healthy
make your own
smoothie at home. This is what I have. Okay.
Here we go.
This is what you need. You throw in a handful of ice.
No weather report today, but your smoothie recipe.
Handful of ice.
Yeah.
Now you have to have planned ahead because you have to buy a boatload of bananas. It looks silly at the market. I'm not going to lie. Going through with four bunches of bananas, they're like, "What the hell are you doing?" Four bunches of bananas. You take them home. You peel them all into Ziploc bags. Throw them in the freezer. You got to do that a day in advance. Frozen bananas, about 1 to 2 bananas worth. Okay. Now we're talking like a 64-ounce smoothie here. We're talking full post-workout meal.
Is a lot.
Yeah, but we're talking like you better be pumping some iron. If maybe go one banana and a little bit less ice. Maybe a half a cup of ice or a cup of ice. So if let's go smaller. Cup of ice, because nobody wants to drink a smoothie like I want to drink a smoothie.
Yeah.
Cup of ice.
They don't need the big gulp size smoothie that
right.
you're drinking.
Well, yeah, it's two of these, basically.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is a big gulp. I have big gulp cups that people have left at my home that I use. Cup of ice, one whole banana.
Uh-huh.
Probably go teaspoon, not tablespoon, heaping tablespoon. Of unsalted raw almond butter, okay, vanilla protein powder, or regular protein powder without the vanilla if you can find it. I can't find it. Whey only, please, no soy.
Jay Hossack on the message says, Barney, quote, can I please have the hot tub size smoothie?
Okay, because every time you say big gulps, I want to go big gulps.
Yeah.
Now, you need a green. You need a greens powder. You got to get
you
yourself a greens powder.
You don't need powder. Get some kale. Throw some lettuce in there.
I don't have a Vitamix yet.
No, well,
I haven't dedicated $650
to Casa de Ruche Ray, and you'll have a Vitamix.
I have burned through multiple blenders.
Oh, yeah.
I killed one last week. I had to go back to the old motor, new top. I am on the verge of
just buy the
Vitamix. I'm hoping for my 40th birthday somebody takes care of me. Thanks for listening, Arian Barnett. Where are we here? Greens powder.
Don't like the powder, but continue.
Mix it all up with almond milk, not soy milk. Stay away from the soy. It's bad for you. Almond milk.
Yes, guys, you do not need soy. Women, too, for that matter.
Grind it. It's maybe an acquired taste. It's not, you know, but it's good because it's not sweet.
Squeeze some lemon in there. We'll take any of the bitterness out of it.
Now, I've gone
You're
from,
welcome.
I've gone from using apple juice as a base when I was younger because I didn't know better.
Almond milk.
And orange juice, which is super sweet, to soy milk, which is still quite sweet. And I don't like what soy does. I'm not a big fan of soy anymore. I avoid it completely.
Almond milk.
Almond milk's very good. Very good. Very neutral flavor. You can put whatever else you want in there and put some flavor. Now, you can throw in some strawberries. You can throw in some blueberries if you want a little sweetness in there. But there's my simple smoothie. That's what I have for lunches.
That sounded a lot
less
simple.
Here's your simple XXXL bowl of smoothie that Kevin is drinking.
Here's what I do. Big handful of ice, okay? About two bananas.
Two bananas.
We're starting over again on this recipe?
Scoop and a half of protein, whole thing of greens, and about probably three-quarters of one of those little boxes of almond milk. It's a lot.
You are spending a crap ton of money at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. Let's get to college football weekly here. But that's what I'm saying. You got to take care of your body.
I do take care of my
body. I haven't played 9 years, 6.5% body fat. There you go.
It's impressive.
Deal with it.
You know what I'm doing?
A lot of eye rolling happening in this place.
You know, it's genetics, though. It's not just me.
I'm going meatless March.
Meatless March?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're going to lose weight, buddy.
So far, so good. And just to see if I can.
Your clothes won't fit anymore.
Well, I basically don't. We don't have any meat in my house anyways.
Okay. But you work out, right?
Yes, Kevin.
How are you going to work out and not eat meat?
You don't need...
Protein powder?
You can get protein from... Well, think about all the vegetables you can get protein from.
Yeah, but
quinoa.
Yeah.
You don't need meat, Kevin.
Protein from quinoa.
You turn into a preachy vegan. It's going to go...
No,
really
I'm not. I'm not preachy at all.
This is starting to sound like super colon blow. That's what it's starting to sound like.
I just want people to realize... Everybody I tell this, they're like, oh, where are you getting your protein from? You can get your protein from 9 million other places.
I guess Tony Gonzalez is the example there. But he has a chef. I mean, you still have to do this on your own.
Oh, Nicole is my chef.
Oh, good for you. Bravo, Nicole Ray.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
No, sorry. Sorry, Jay.
Let's get to Jay. All right, here we go. In association with an association, we here at The Net Live bring you AVCA College Volleyball Weekly. It's just fun now. An update on what has happened and a look forward to what will be in the world of collegiate volleyball. And right now, it's all about the men. It is mid-season, kind of the dark days. It's kind of like October for the women, where you can't quite see the end, but you don't remember the start. So, things get interesting, and we have a lot of wins and losses by teams you wouldn't necessarily expect. But that's in the MPSF. I'm not sure about the EVA or the MEVA. We'll talk to Jay about that right now. Our own correspondent, Jay Hosick, is in town. He's not surfing in Belize, and he is upset about it, but he has agreed to give us some time here. Jay.
Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? By the way, this is the day that I really miss being in studio when we just start going off topic about smoothie kings and about what you're putting in your juice and what you're putting in your smoothies. And I, for one, Barney, I don't believe I got it written down. Would you please explain again what you put in your smoothies? I just want to make sure I get it.
Yeah, and can I get the exact sizes? I'm just going to handful. Kevin's giant handful is the size of, like, 5 cupfuls.
Now, I've even changed what I put in smoothies since I made them for you and Dustin Abel.
Since you told us 5 minutes ago?
No, since I made it for you and Dustin Abel, I took the yogurt.
I'm going to need 128 bananas and 14 bunches of parsley, and just make sure it's 175 bananas. Let's make sure. So
220 milliliter smoothie.
That is classic stuff. By the way, before I get started, a shout-out to Lance Walker. I'm the guy that he did the logo for the PBL. He did great work. I highly recommend him. This is my reference letter to anybody who's listening, who's thinking about getting stuff done. And he does some really nice designs, and his uniforms are good. Give him a call if you guys are in need. He's good stuff there. So he's not paying me any money. I'm not getting any free press from him. He did good work for me. So paying it forward.
I should throw it in there, too. He did our Dig Pink shirts at Kenyon 1 year as well. Pretty awesome.
There you go. Lance Walker, Brahma, extraordinaire.
All right, Jay, I want to ask you about this match first because I did it last night. And if your stat line for your setter looks like this, 8 kills on 11 attempts, 42 assists, a couple of service pressures, no aces, 6 digs, and 3 blocks, seems to me you're going to win. James Shaw came down, and do you think he was trying to make a statement against SC and Micah Christensen, because Micah Christensen has spent some time on the national team and played exceptional, and we haven't seen James Shaw there just yet?
Well, having coached both of them on the junior national team last year, they were our part of the team until Micah decided to go with the senior team.
Decided.
I think James is a really good young setter. I think he's still figuring that position out. And by all means, I'm not saying that the kid's terrible. The kid's really good, but he had some things that he needed to work on to make himself a little bit more consistent. And so credit to him, credit to his coaches, Shibuya and Costi. You know, they're probably working with the kid a little bit and getting him some time and, some reps. And, you know, when you're 6'7 or 6'8 and you jump that well, you're going to get some kills. You're going to be an active setter. I don't think there's a setter that tall in the country that wasn't that active. So, credit to him. And you know, I know you're segueing into this. It was upset Friday out there back out west. So, you know, lots of good matches this weekend to watch.
Yeah, there were a lot of crazy matches to watch. And just one more thing on James Shaw. He was on point with his location as well. He was really putting the ball on the money. It wasn't just about the kills. It was also about the assists. He made some wonderful choices and played one of the best matches I've seen out of him this year. And we've seen him quite a few times on Pac-12 Network. We'll see him a couple more times as the season goes on as well.
Like I said, he's a great kid. I believe it was his birthday last week as well, so happy belated birthday, James. You know, when I was watching him set for the last couple of years with the junior team, he looked like, you know, when you watch Shaquille O'Neal trying to throw free throws and his hand, you know, would go around the basketball like it was a softball, and it's
right.
Really tough to make any shots. That's kind of what James looked like when he would set. The ball would look so tiny in his hand. I've got to imagine if you had to set, you know, a softball, Barney, we'd have some trouble with that. So James is figuring out some touch, and he's getting some good location now, and more power to him. He's a great kid. He knows the game really, really well. Obviously, you know, his father, you know, being Don Shaw and having won all those titles at Stanford. His sister just finished her career at St. Mary's. You know, it's a volleyball family. I think the kid's seen a little bit of volleyball in his days, and like I said, just a neat kid all the way around. I'm glad he had a good weekend.
Yeah, I said for a while with Shaq and his free throws, if you had to take a 16-inch softball and shoot that, it's a lot more difficult. That's basically what Shaq is doing with a basketball because his hand is that big. You mentioned upset Friday. Stanford took out Pepperdine. That was an upset. That's number 10 taking out number 4, 3-1, pretty handily. But also out there, Jay, in the EIVA, the EVA, it was you guys losing to Ohio State 3-1. They're 14. You were 12, and now you find yourself at 14.
Yeah, I tell you, we beat Ohio State the first couple of times we saw them this year in 3-0, and we felt pretty confident going into the match. And, you know, we go into the first game, things looked pretty good. We ended up winning it pretty handily, and then we're up by, you know, 5 or 6 points in the second, and the wheels just started to come off a little bit in our guys, and next thing you know, credit to Ohio State, they stuck strong and just kept playing volleyball, and they ended up beating us in 4 at their place, and that's, you know, that's, I think, part for what's going on around the country. When you look at what happened in the MPSF last week, the week started out with Santa Barbara going 3-0 against UCLA. And that, you know, not necessarily, you know, it's not the bottom of the MPSF beating the top, but it was a week of lower-ranked teams beating higher-ranked teams on Friday. When you have that match starting off the week, you have Stanford beating Pep in 4. You have Long Beach beating BYU in 4. Then you have Irvine beating Hawaii in 4. And then the next day it goes on, and you got Stanford beating USC, and you got UC Irvine beating Hawaii again in 5. You know, Harvard goes 3 and beats Princeton again for the second time after Princeton had a big win against us. I mean, it was all over the place. And, you know, then IPFW, unranked, beating Ohio State 3-2 earlier in the week before we saw them. So,
right.
You know, you mentioned the dog days of the season and you know, some teams, you know, it's absolutely true. You kind of get into the grind of coach volleyball, recruit, scout, go to sleep. Wake up, play coach volleyball, recruit, scout, go to sleep. It's kind of the grind. And the kids are, you know, they're stuck in it just as much as anybody else. And the teams that are able to keep that focus throughout the day in practice and bring it on in the weekends and get excited to get into the teams that usually are going to be more successful. So, you know, I don't think that this means anything in particular this last weekend, except that it's anybody's game still. It doesn't matter who you are. Somebody is going to be able to beat you on any given night. And that's got to be exciting for volleyball fans. I mean, you mentioned earlier the MPSF, if you win a match or lose a match, next thing you know, you're going to be out of the hunt. And if you look at their top 8 teams, you know, the top 2 teams are okay, 13-2 and 12-4. That's BYU and Long Beach. But UCSB is 11-5. The ninth place team right now is Hawaii, and they're 9-7. That's two matches within each other, and everybody's still got a number of weeks left in their season. And so it's going to come down to the wire for a lot of those teams of who's going to be able to pull it out. I mean, Hawaii was fourth, and now they're all the way down at ninth. And, well, eighth, tied for eighth with Stanford. And they had a big weekend the weekend before, beating UCLA both times. And then Irvine comes in, and next thing you know, they lose both those matches, and it knocks them back down. So it was an exciting week of volleyball, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And anything can happen inside the MPSF. And UC Santa Barbara has been, as we mentioned before, it's kind of a schizophrenic team. The one night they'll come out and destroy somebody, and the next night they'll come back and really struggle, and you wonder who they are. And that can be said for a lot of teams. When you look at the stats for USC, their overall season stats, you tend to wonder, how are they winning all these matches? Then when you look at Stanford, you look at their stats, you go, how are they losing all these matches? I'm not quite sure how it's happening. The stats, it's like, it reminds me in a larger form of a match where you look at the stat sheet after the match and you go, well, we won every statistical category except the score. How did that happen?
Yeah, and, you know, I think the big story last week that was on the talk of everybody was John Sprott kicking his team out of practice, and it was the first time he's ever done that. And I don't know about you, Barney, but when I was at Irvine Valley, there were a number of times that I would kick a team out of the gym because they weren't performing the way that you want them to. And, you know, I don't think that that's necessarily a big deal. I think it's just Sprott sending a message to his team that it's unacceptable for them to not work hard in practice. You know, this is a gift. This is a privilege. This isn't a right. And for whatever reason, I don't know what was going on in his gym. It's obviously his decision. But for whatever reason, he didn't like what he saw. And he gave him a warning, and they continued to do it. Next thing you know, he's like, hey, get out. Did that ruin the team for the weekend? I'm not so sure.
No.
I don't think that that's necessarily the be-all, end-all of their existence. If kicking your team out of the gym means that they're not going to play well the next time, well, then you got other issues. And I think John's team responded pretty well to that. You know, Vinny Lopes has done a really good job of following men's volleyball and writing up on it. And I got a message from him just yesterday saying that it's interesting how the MPSF beating up on each other all over the place has the potential for a non-West Coast team to get that second at-large bid. And right now, IPFW and Lewis are both in contention. And for those of you that know Vinny, he's a number cruncher. He likes to go out there, he takes all the criteria, and he puts things together. You know, that could be a big deal later on down the line. If the MPSF continues to go the way it's going now, you know, the bottom couple of teams are kind of, you know, they're not doing so well, but everybody else is beating up on everybody else.
All right, but Jay, do me a favor. Put Ohio State or Ball State or those teams, put them into the MPSF right now. Where are they going to be?
Well, let's see. They have to play these matches day in and day out. You know, right now I'd probably put them at about seventh, you know, behind SC and Irvine. I think that at this year, you know, everybody's up and down depending on the year. I think this year IPFW
could
be – I
would put them above Hawaii and Stanford.
I would definitely put IPFW up there. IPFW is a good team, and they're scrappy. Ohio State's struggling a little bit this year. They have some good matches, and they have some bad matches. But on the whole, I think they're still kind of rebuilding. You put that 2011 team in there, and they're in the top three in that conference. So, you know, I think this year that's kind of where they would fit. Ball State's pretty good. They'd probably be somewhere in the 8-9 range. You know, and they're going to sneak up on some teams and surprise them. But I definitely think they're better than Northridge, Baptist, Pacific, and San Diego. So it doesn't mean that those teams wouldn't beat them on any certain night, but I think that's where I'd put them right now.
Erskine might be better than UC San Diego right now. I'm not sure. We have to have them have a battle royale. New poll out from the ABCA. Loyola Chicago was idle, so you can't knock them down. They remain at number one. Long Beach State, on the strength of that victory over BYU, moves themselves into two, BYU in three. UC Santa Barbara, coming off that good weekend or good week for fourth place for them, up from seventh. Big, big mover there. Pepperdine down to fifth. Stanford up from 10th to sixth. So another big move. Santa Barbara and Stanford on the move. UCLA sliding precipitously from seventh to fifth. Then you have Irvine, USC, Hawaii, Lewis, IPFW, Ball State, Penn State, Ohio State. All the states once again together. And, Jay, you're in 14th, not 12th, but maybe if you get a couple victories, you can get back to your natural level.
You said sliding from 7th to 5th.
Yeah,
is that was the other way around?
Get back to that comfort.
Sorry,
yeah.
Fifth to seventh.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Sorry, UCLA sliding from fifth to seventh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I heard that too, Jeremy. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I want to call him on that.
So. I know. It happens.
All right.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in the world of volleyball. You want to hear about some upcoming matches that are worth looking at?
Yeah,
no, I was just looking at Lee's McRae that they lost 3-1 to Erskine, but we're gonna let that go. And also, I was looking at the Limestone scores now that I'm interested. Limestone facing off with Granite, and they won 3-2. No, okay.
Erskine beating Limestone, and Limestone turning around beating Lee's McRae. Nice little victory for them.
Give me your upcoming here.
Okay, I got a few here. I'm gonna push my team in Ohio State. We're both making the trek out west, playing in the Aftermath at Long Beach State. Friday night, we play Cal State Northridge, and Ohio State plays Long Beach, and then it's the flip-flop match on Saturday. Should be two exciting matches. Excited to be there. I'm going to be watching George Mason at Loyola. Mason seems to be kind of a Jekyll and Hyde team right now. They have a good match, and they have not so good match, and they ended up beating Harvard last weekend, and Harvard went on beating Princeton, and Princeton beat us. So I think there's, you know, if you want to air go that kind of that logic, Mason could have a nice weekend there. Harvard is playing at Ball State. I'm going to be watching that. IPFW is going to be playing also at Ball State this weekend. I'm going to be looking at Ohio State at Lewis. New program to the thing here, UC Merced. Coached by Dave Noble, who was a Santa Cruz guy back in the day. Brand new NAIA team that is going down to play Grand Canyon. That should be exciting to watch. I want to see what's going on there. I'm going to be watching Pepperdine at UCLA. That's going to be a good match. USC at Santa Barbara. Let's see if Santa Barbara can take care of business where they should. Hawaii at Stanford, I'm going to be watching. I'm also going to be watching Pep at Santa Barbara. And the ever-popular USC at UCLA. I believe that's the Kilgore Cup, if I'm not mistaken. You might know that, Barney, but that's going to be a great match. That's the slate that I will be watching. Anything in particular that excites you?
Well, Pep at UCLA excites me because I get paid to go do it. So I will be there watching that. And I'm also excited to have Pepperdine on TV for the first time in two seasons that I've been doing stuff for Pac-12 here. It'll be nice to have my home squad out there facing off against UCLA. And I think that's one of the more intriguing matchups because both teams coming off a not-so-good week. And getting your team kicked out of practice, that happens. I don't see why that's a big deal. People just don't know that's been going on for a while. And I remember Marv Dunphy on multiple occasions just saying, we're done for today.
I have been on the receiving end of being kicked out of practice several times.
me personally.
Yeah. I was saying, Kevin, was it the team or was it you?
Oh, no.
No. I've had the team, but there's no doubt I have been tossed. Back-to-back
by
Mark Dunphy.
Nice.
On the national team, as a matter of fact, yeah.
By the way, Pepperdine joining the ranks of BYU and Hawaii, putting together a nice online telecast slate. They've been doing a really good job. The quality of the video is very good. The announcers are good. And so I don't know about you, but I've been watching Pepperdine all year long, and it's been a lot of fun. And I think Smoothie King should be a sponsor for the show just because they know you hate them, and now they should give you money, so you got to blow them up. I think it would be awesome.
Hey, if somebody from Smoothie King hears about this and they're willing to deliver some smoothies to the home court during the Net Live, by all means do so. But you better make it good. Don't be bringing that Sugar Shack crap in here, okay? Don't be putting Sour Patch Kids in my smoothie.
College Volleyball Wrap-Up brought to you by Smoothie King, where you too could have a pound of sugar in your own drink.
Jay, are we going to see you next weekend or week?
Yes,
are you...
I'm flying out tomorrow. I wish that I was going to be able to stay through Monday and be in studio. Unfortunately, we leave on Sunday. But I will be in Southern California starting tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll get a little surf time in, maybe a little beach volleyball if I'm lucky. But obviously, I'm there to work. So whatever my time will allow, I'll do what I can.
Hours? Yeah.
What was that?
The tab couldn't give you 24 more hours?
Jeez.
Did I put in my written request?
I'm sure if I asked him, he would have allowed me to, but I'm not going to make that request, especially at this time of year. Plus, we go to Chicago next week, so we got some work to do.
Jay Hosick, thanks very much. We appreciate it. We're going to get to Merrick McLaughlin here in just a second on the Net Live. Thanks, Jay, for checking in. Good luck this week.
See you this week.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. See ya.
All right,
Jay.
All right, we'll see you. Spin up some tunes for a second. We're going to get ready for Rick McLaughlin in about 15, 20 seconds here. Is he in the queue?
Oh, he's in the queue.
Oh, all right. 15 seconds. We'll be on with Rick McLaughlin, head coach at UC Santa Barbara. You want to hear about the week they had? UCLA got tossed out of practice. UC Santa Barbara said, hey, we're tossing you out of this match. Bastille?
Yep.
I like when I know the music. It's a little deep cuts there on Bastille.
Track number two on their album.
Well, you haven't heard it on the radio, though, right?
No, I was just letting people know.
Yeah.
They wanted to know.
Yeah, deep cuts. You don't hear that crap on the radio. You gotta go full album. That's a good album, by the way.
Agreed.
I put that right in there with some of the other ones. Coldplay puts out good albums. U2, good albums.
I believe in the Volleyball Magazine article I wrote, I can't remember which month it would have come out, January maybe, of like my year-end wrap-up.
Yeah.
That album was in there as one of my faves.
Imagine Dragons. Overplayed at this point. I was on them early.
But a great top-to-bottom album.
Great Correct. Top-to-bottom album.
It's what I like to call a let it play.
A let it play.
You just put it in, hit the play button.
It's like let them play Larry.
And just let it roll.
Mumford and Sons. That's another one.
Yeah,
album.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
I like, you know, here's another problem I have before we get to Rick.
Oh, boy.
I like country music now, and thanks a lot, Zach Brown Band, for being the marijuana of music. It's such a gateway drug. It's like, yeah, you listen to it. Oh, I kind of like Zach Brown Band. Oh, wait, now I like country. Damn it.
It's okay, Kevin.
All right. Hey, I've Googled Rick McLaughlin. This is fun. Just to Google somebody. Again, he's the fourth picture. He didn't make top three.
No convicted felons above him, though?
No, the bassist, Rick McLaughlin, has dominated him on the internet. You have to go down a couple of clicks there to find Rick McLaughlin.
The bassist from
He's just a bassist.
Oh, okay.
He's not a bassist from anything. He's got a big cello, like a bass cello, not like a bass guitar.
Gotcha.
All right, let's bring him in. This man climbed the mountain. He was the head coach of a men's program, only to find out that a jumbotron was more valuable than his team. So he recomposed himself. This is a guy who's coached everything, everywhere you could imagine. Men's, women's, junior college, college. He's been an assistant under people like Marv Dunphy, Kathy Gregory, giants of the sport. And then a few years ago, he got himself back into the head coaching position there at UC Santa Barbara with the men's program and promptly took them to the finals. Nearly taking it with a guy by the name of Jeff Menzel. At the helm, touching 13.5 feet. He now stars at Nolico Mosaic overseas. But Rick McLaughlin, he has another good team this year here at UC Santa Barbara. They're a little bit schizophrenic. We wonder if they need some Ritalin or something. But we're going to find out right now. Joining us here on the Net Live, Rick McLaughlin. Rick.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Hey, thanks for joining us here. And Rick, first thing about your team, I keep saying this about your team, you never quite know what we're going to get when you guys take the floor. Do you feel that as a coach? Do you think that's accurate?
It's dead on. We don't know what we're going to get from night to night. But lately it's been good. Lately we've been getting what we want.
Yeah, it definitely has been good as of late. You guys go out and sweep UCLA in a 3-0 win. Tell me about that match. What went right for your side?
We received the ball well, and we served well, and put those two things together, you're usually going to have a good match. And UCLA was a little off. I'd like to think we played well enough and made them be a little off, but I think they were coming off of a tough road trip in Hawaii, which is always a great time to catch a team.
Yeah, certainly. That's something I forget playing internationally for so long. I forget how the travel would affect you in college when you're not used to it. What do you do with your team to try and manage that trip when you have to make it out to Hawaii?
It's tough. You know, you want to get there as far in advance as you can and get used to it. And then I try to get out the night that we play our last match and gain that extra day to get back and recover. I think I'm not sure when UCLA got out, but you know, it's tough. We all have to go through it, and I think you compound that with finals week and whatever else, and it's tough for a team to come back and play on a Wednesday, especially on the road again.
Yeah, definitely. Rick, you've had a lot of experience as an assistant coach for different people. Marv Dunphy is one I think of. Your brother Jim, of course, head coach with the University of Washington women. He's been successful up there. He was also successful down here with USC with the men. And with all these people that you've had influence you as a coach, what are some of the great things you've taken from the different places you've been, the different people you know in this sport, and applied to your program?
I've taken a ton from all of them. Marv was a huge influence, just the way he trained and the way he dealt with players on a personal level. I still think he's the best, and that's just the way it is. But I learned a ton from Marv. I've learned a ton from my brother also. Picked up things from Kathy Gregory and my own coach, Mike Norman, who was a great coach. And, you know, I was lucky. I've had great experiences with those people.
Are kids today the same, different than they were a few years ago?
That's a huge question. you know, I think that it's probably more the same than we think as coaches, but a lot of us talk all the time and think that maybe, you know, things that we would have done or that our coaches would have had us do long ago just wouldn't go today with guys. So it's a good question. I'm not sure if it's changed a whole lot or if it's just us getting older.
Yeah, I was asking this question yesterday to a couple of guys, John Costi, head coach there for Stanford, and Bill Ferguson, head coach of USC, and asking them about the opposite spot in particular, because as I've been doing these matches the last couple of years and getting back into collegiate volleyball in a big way, I just don't see the opposites out there that can bang and hit the ball that I remember. And I'm wondering, where have all the opposites gone in the men's game?
I agree with you. It's becoming more of a left side game for sure. And you put your bombers on the left side and you try to, you know, receive serve as best you can. And half of those balls are going to end up being high balls to your left side. So I think that's kind of what's made it go to the left side, is the serving's just gotten tougher and tougher. But if you have a good opposite in our league right now, you're doing well.
Who do you think is the most dangerous hitter in the league?
Both Taylors are big time. Crab is so smart. You got to get a good game plan on him and hopefully hold him to 300, you know, if you're lucky. Even if you triple him, he's going to find a way to find the floor most of the time. And Taylor, I haven't seen Taylor Sander yet because we haven't played them, but just watching a bunch of film and knowing Taylor, he's right there too.
Yeah, I wonder with Taylor Crabb, as great as he is in college, and I agree, I've seen him, and it's amazing to watch, a lot of fun to watch him play the game. Do you think he can make it on the national team at the size he is, 6 feet tall?
I wouldn't count him out ever, because the guy just knows how to play the game better than anyone in our league. And I just think he's got to be able to take that to the next level, parts of it. And maybe he's, you know, a very limited role on your team, but he could help that team tremendously, I think. Just his knowledge and his competitiveness. He's pretty amazing at this level. I haven't seen many better.
All right, you and I were talking earlier today about the lights in Rob Gym, and this is something that you had brought up, and we mentioned on air, myself and Al Skates, and I never thought that our little broadcast could have a wide-reaching effect, but it seems to have had perhaps positive influence upon your program.
It was a huge effect, and I got to thank you for that. We, you know, have been trying to get lights in that gym. Everybody who's played there knows it's very dark, and we've been trying to get lights in that gym for a long, long time, and after you and Al mentioned it on the air when we played at UCLA, We are now getting brand new fixtures, lights, everything during our finals week next week.
All right. Pac-12 Network's so getting it done.
They're getting it done.
So, I mean, we got to think about other topics we have to bring up now. Well, we'll be dealing with every single coach when I do my match on Tuesday. Pepperdine UCLA will be taking requests for things that people want in their gym or in their program.
Yeah, you know, for us, if next time, just mention out-of-state scholarships. If you can get those budgeted for us, that'd be great.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll see if we can do that for you. And speaking of gyms and lighting and so on and so forth, thinking about difficult places to play, you guys have to go to BYU, and that seems to be the one that gets mentioned a lot as far as challenging places to play. Is that the most challenging? Can you think of another venue that in the men's game that you have trouble playing at because it's the fans, the lights, the building, something?
We actually enjoy going to BYU. I don't mind playing there at all. They have a great crowd, and you know, they run a great event, great floor. We like that place. Probably the toughest one that we've had trouble with would be Cal Baptist.
Really?
It's a small little gym with a really low roof, and the crowd gets rocking, and it's tough. It's a tough place to play.
Wow, Cal Bap, who knew?
Yeah.
Rick, looking around the MPSF this year, we were just talking about it with Jay, that it is two matches between third and ninth. Have you ever seen it this tight, this crazy, in the middle of a season?
Never. There's usually a little more separation either at the top or the bottom. Mm-hmm. There's always fights going on for the bottom, and there's fights for the top. But, I mean, there's no way to know what's going to happen right now. And I think it's going to go down to the last night, and you know, anybody could be in and out. You just got to keep trying to win as much as you can right now.
All right, you have a golf tournament coming up. You have a fundraiser happening up there. Give folks some information on that. I think we've done it before, but it's always better to come from the source.
We do. It's our golf tournament, which is our biggest fundraiser. It's this Saturday at Sandpiper Golf Course, beautiful golf course right on the water. We got a great group of UCSB alums coming, as well as a great group of Loyola Marymount alums, including Reed, that are going to come up and get together, and it should be a great time.
Yeah, for our listeners that don't know, how did things go down at Loyola Marymount in the death of that program? We've seen the death of a few programs over the years. Pacific this year is going to be the most recent. San Diego State was a few years after Loyola Marymount, but how did that come about, and where were you at the moment you were leaving when it seemed like you were in a great spot and clicking right along?
You know, it wasn't a shock. It was always a battle there. The 8 years I spent there, we had a great athletic director named Brian Quinn, who was just such a volleyball supporter. And then they moved him out, I want to say it was in 1999, and then we knew that that, you know, things could be tough because he fought for us and he kept us alive. And I started hearing little things, you know, through people across campus that were friends of mine. And I kind of had an idea halfway through our season in 2000 that they were going to make a move. And sure enough, at the end of the year, it happened to be our best year in history. And we finished fifth in the country. And it was Reed's senior year. And they just decided to do it. It was a kind of a shock still, even though I knew that they were thinking about it. It was a shock with how great we did that they decided to cut the program. And I still don't know exactly what the reason is. You know, I don't think anybody really does.
Yeah, we've often heard the Jumbotron. They wanted to buy a Jumbotron instead of funding the men's volleyball program. But that might be more funny than actually true.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's what it was, but it really didn't make sense on the gender side because we were pretty equal gender-wise on campus. We weren't in violation of anything like that. So as much as they wanted to tell people that was the excuse, I don't think that was it. I think it was basic financial decision.
That's too bad. All right, Rick, thanks for joining us here on the Net Live. We appreciate an opportunity to talk to you. If folks want to come to your golf tournament, where can they go to register?
They would just want to email me, and probably as soon as they can, yeah. We have to get those names in to the starter by the end of the day, pretty much.
All right, so they got to do it today. What's your email address?
It is rmclaughlin@athletics.ucsb.edu.
And people should know, have you stacked your team? Have you put Colin Wellman on your team? Have you? Because at Pepperdine, I look at your team and go, well, this is made for the win. I look at my team and go, well, this is made to drive the cart really fast.
Yeah, Colin Wellman won't be coming. So I actually don't play in the tournament. I am busy doing a bunch of stuff, but there are a few really good teams. So if you're coming planning to win it, you got to bring a few ringers with you.
All right, bring your best foursome if you want to dominate the UC Santa Barbara Charity Golf Tournament. Rick McLaughlin has coached in college, junior national teams, been a head coach and assistant coach, and one of the all-time good guys you'll find. You get an opportunity to pin him down for a conversation, do so. His UC Santa Barbara Gauchos will be in action again this week. They're coming off a fantastic week of volleyball, and they are solidly in the playoff hunt in the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. Thanks, Rick. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks. Anytime, Kevin. Thanks a lot.
All right, Rick McLaughlin checking in from UC Santa Barbara. And, yeah, Rick, good Finiene player, too. Good good card player. Good golfer, good card player. I wonder if he's any good at darts or shuffleboard, like bar sports.
Just dominate.
No, he's one of the really good guys, and I mean that sincerely. You get an opportunity to talk to Rick, you should just go down and say hi and pick his brain. If you're a volleyball coach, volleyball person, he's a guy who's seen a tremendous amount of volleyball at a high level.
And Reed Pretty's going to be up there for that, right? That's what he said this weekend?
Reed Pretty will be there. Yeah, can't come to the show. I understand.
It's his seven-year anniversary.
Today.
Today.
What was his excuse last week?
It was his six-year anniversary.
His six-year, 51-week anniversary.
Exactly.
Unable to make the program. Unbelievable.
We're not going to have enough headsets if he shows up.
Well, that's a good point.
That's true.
Hey, people should know, big event coming up here on Wednesday.
This Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
Okay.
If you want to know firsthand about the sport of beach volleyball, there will be a beach report town hall meeting. This is taking place here in Los Angeles from 2 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday. You can get on the webinar. There will be a webinar that you can watch. It's going to be happening at the Embassy Suites, LAX North, 9801 Airport Boulevard. You can plan on attending. You need to RSVP to USA Volleyball and Chris Vidala there at USA Volleyball if you want to attend this. But what they're going to do is they're going to review the Independent Beach Volleyball Consultants Report. Rich Perlman prepared that. His findings and recommendations from that report will be presented and will be, I don't know, clarified, probably just presented is the best way to put that. This was a report commissioned by the USA Volleyball Board of Directors. It was recently released. It's 150 pages. Jeremy, I've read
20 in.
I've read about 25. I read the summary. I read some of the other segments of it. I read a fair amount of it. It's quite honest.
Good.
And not necessarily eye-opening. I think it's a lot of what we figured was happening, but good to see. And he kind of beat up both sides pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't read it as there's beating it up. I read it as pointing out things that needed to be addressed. And I think any business that wants to get better needs to do stuff like that. I take this as a positive for everybody involved in volleyball, especially if actions are taken. If nothing's done about it, then it was a waste of time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this is implemented or what actions are taken off of this report. But if you want to read the report, you can find it. We'll try and get a link up there. I think a link has been up on NetLive
before.
If you look back through our posts there on Facebook, you can find it. But if you want to see this webinar, you want to hear some of the stuff. I wonder if beach athletes are going to pack the halls and be angry.
If I was in town, I would go. But I'm not going to be.
Yeah, I'm out of town. I have a thing on Wednesday as well. I wanted to go to it from 2 to 5.
So, Katie, that means you got to go. Thanks. Good job.
If I can make it from there to Marymount High School by 5:30, we'll
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Is that LAX? Sure. Come on.
No problem.
Sounds exactly like that would happen, though.
We'll send the NetLive helicopter for you.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Just wait on the roof.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the FIVB Beach doing some test rules of the of the block not counting as a hit anymore.
Yes.
There has been some altercation to that where they're only testing it at two events now. I think some of the players thought it was going to be implemented immediately, which is not the case.
Why not implement it immediately?
Because they want to test it out. And it's funny, because since we did that show a couple weeks ago, I reached out to some beach players and asked them their opinions on it.
Okay.
Some were like, I'm not going to waste my time complaining one way or the other. I'm just going to keep it moving and whatever.
Wow, what a mature attitude. I'm not going to waste my time complaining. When's the last time a player started a sentence with that?
That's nice. And some of the other players, like, obviously the defensive people were, well, sure, it helps me because if I get a dig, then I'm going to have an opportunity to really hit it. But what I heard a lot was the players they're confused by it because the FIVB has been talking about they want longer rallies and blah, 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 and they think that this does not create a longer rally because basically the person's going to dig it and then put it away.
There's an increased chance of putting it away.
Correct.
I'd agree with that. But I like that part of it. I like rewarding the touch. I don't think the touch gets rewarded.
I'm with you on that, but some of their point was that if you want longer rallies, this is not helping that. If that's what you've been preaching for years, this is not going that direction.
If you want longer rallies, put four people on the court.
Oh, boy.
Better yet, play six-man. There are rallies. When you watch six-man, there are rallies.
Yeah, because there's 150 people on the court.
You want rallies? Put more people out there. Okay. Cover the court in people.
That's why they shrunk the court on the beach.
Yeah, it still doesn't matter. You get more terminal blocking is what you get out of that.
Which is fun.
Well, if you're Phil,
yeah,
it's fun.
That's why it's
exciting.
Yeah.
Phil gets...
I was
going to say Phil gets pumped, but I don't know that I actually have video evidence of that.
Glendale, Arizona.
Phil gets a smirk.
Against Brazil.
One time.
Where he, like, blocked five in a row.
And then he got pumped.
He was, yes. And in the third game of the set...
Oh.
Yes.
It's international.
That's how it should be, Kevin. The whole thing is a set, not one game. Anyways.
No, the whole thing's not a set. It's a match.
Match.
Anyways, but all together is a set.
Thank you.
Then throw the word set out.
There are sets in a match.
Right, there are sets in a match.
No, there's not.
You're losing this argument.
No, I'm not.
Listen to Marlo and Wong on beach on
but
international.
But it's proper. Tennis has sets. Explain
so
to me how. How is one game a set? How is that a set?
No.
Set means more than one.
Well, historically,
well, no, tennis has games inside of sets.
Correct.
There is a game inside of a set inside of a match. Mm-hmm. We don't have games.
It's
we only have sets and matches.
It's not a set, though. Set means more than one. Explain to me where there's more than one.
And why would you have a sport where you're playing a set and you can actually make a set? That's stupid.
You still haven't answered my question.
I'm not sure you're ever getting an answer, just in case you're wondering.
I just want people to say, Jeremy, you're right. It's stupid. But this is. I know that's how it is. I get it.
Why is it a game? Or why shouldn't it be a game?
How is it a set? How is there multiple?
That's the terminology.
But that's incorrect terminology.
There are multiple sets in a tennis match.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are multiple sets
in a
volleyball match.
No, there's not, because there's not a set in the match. The whole thing can be a set because there's more than one game.
No, there's not a game. There's a set.
One game cannot be a set. There's not
it's
more than
set.
One. No.
Maybe your argument is not so much with us, but more with the inventors of volleyball.
Yeah. It didn't. We didn't.
Maybe you still want it to be called Mintonette. That's a good idea, too.
I don't like you.
I am a Mintonette volleyball, Mintonette beach player. I play beach Mintonette.
It all goes back to the argument that Geeter said, you don't go down to the beach and say, I have next set.
Yeah, but almost nobody goes to the beach in the United States. There's only, like,
you also don't go
10
into
places
the,
in the
You don't
world.
Go into a gym and say, I have next set.
Well, I'm pretty sure they just go with, I have next. They can skip the next part of that.
They don't say set.
I got next.
And the word set is not in their head.
I just walk in and I put my quarter on the referee's stand and say, there's my spot. I've covered it. Remember you set quarters on the screen?
Nope, I don't. I'm not 85.
I'm too young for that reference. Thank you very much.
It used to be called an arcade. You could be social. You didn't just sit in your house and stare at your TV.
Thank you, Cam Kerr. I just want it to be proper English, Kevin. That's all I'm asking for.
Cam Kerr said, Jeremy, just stop talking.
Yeah, because you guys are fools, and he knows that I'm correct, and you're just doing things to upset
me. Isn't that the second time that's come up on the chat board today?
I'm kind of disappointed.
They told Kevin to stop talking.
I got to tell you, I'm kind of disappointed. Apparently, curling's a big deal in Canada.
Where's Paul Baxter, and when are we going to Van Nuys for this?
Apparently, curling is a big deal. And Fridays in Toronto, you can't even come in and you can't play, what are they called? A rock, I think it's called, what is it? A frame or whatever. It's not bowling.
It's a set.
Something
sure
else. It's not
set.
A set. It's
totally
else.
A set.
You can't even come in and play an end. That's what it is, an end. They don't even need the chessboard. It's an end. You can't come in and just play an end. You got to be part of a whole league.
So when
they
you
have
go,
leagues going on Friday.
So you're saying when you were in Canada with Cam, you're not going to be able to do this.
We can't get an ice time. It's maddening to me because I said I'm in.
For curling. Come on
I'm
now.
In.
Do they not know who you are?
Yeah, really.
They have league nights and they're booked up. Eight That's, places, he says. Cam has put out the effort.
Cam has to know somebody in the league.
They're not going to let me come in and throw. They're not going to let
like
me come in and
but
slide
like when
the rock.
Like
I'm
when
gonna
they're when
the league here.
Yeah, like when they're done. Not you're going to sandbag, but like when they're done.
It's going to be like what?
When their set is over, Kevin.
Wait a
you're
second.
Going to have some time to get out there.
Wait a second. So when they stop with the spinning strobe lights and the black lights and everything that they're having for their league night, right?
Yeah.
When all that shuts off,
dark throws.
It's nothing but me and Cam and 65 drunk Canadians who've been going for 4 hours
yeah.
playing ends.
How awesome is that going to be?
Quaffing Molson, lots of Labatt's bottles all over the ice, and I got to go out and throw some ends. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it sounds great.
First of all, if that doesn't – I mean, we're going to do it in here as well.
Who's bringing up a volleyball topic? We're talking about curling. Jesus.
So the question is, when are we going to Van Nuys to practice?
Yeah, Kevin.
That's my end of the world.
Well, apparently we're just going to have to go and play. We're going to fly Cam Kerr in from Toronto.
$100.
That you're going to pay me.
That I'm going to pay you.
If you're so confident, just put it out there.
I have. I've said it on the show.
Yeah, but you told me I have to pay you like $275 if I don't do it or something.
No, $50. You have to pay me $50.
$20.
I have to pay you $50. I get 100 shots. I have to put one in the middle.
Yep.
The middle of what?
That little blue
the red
circle.
Right? Circle.
The red,
yeah, you don't need to get
blue.
The bullseye. I'm sure it's not called the bullseye. The red one in the middle, but you need to be whatever the circle is.
The next
outside.
One.
Yeah.
The next one.
Because you were so confident about
wholly
it.
Wholly inside or touching or half. What are we talking about here?
You need to be inside
for
the
100
circle.
The whole thing.
In the center.
What if part
nope.
of my rock is touching the line?
You were so confident about it. That whole thing needs to be in
the
center.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
But, all right. How is it scored, though? If half the rock is touching the bullseye, is that a bullseye? And what the hell is it called?
Yeah,
a center?
Can't be a bullseye.
It's not a
that's
bullseye. No.
It's called a
set. It's called
a
button.
It's called a set.
It's called a set.
We can make a whole
it's called
Saturday.
A button. For, okay,
a
it's
whole
a button.
Saturday of it. We can do K1 Speedway.
If half my rock is touching
by,
the button.
The best day ever.
Followed by curling.
The question is,
fantastic.
Do you do it true Canadian style, where we're just drinking beer while we do it? Hold
no,
on.
Obviously.
And we have to drink Labatt's. Or Molson.
Reed will definitely be there for this.
It's the only thing he's shown up for.
Paul Baxter will be there.
Well.
And I'm going to bring $100 worth of singles.
Cam says if it's half in, we'll count that. So all it has to be is half in.
Okay, fine.
Cam, you're making this way too
fine.
Easy.
Fine, $100.
$100.
And every time you fall on your face, you owe me 10.
Do I get special shoes? Do they have special shoes?
I don't know.
They look
works.
Like weightlifting shoes. That's what they look mm-hmm. like.
Only one does, though, right? One has the grippy and one doesn't.
Well, you got to push off or something on one, right?
You
got to slide on the other.
You fall on your face.
I'll have a smoothie before.
I'm
going to
bring
I will be balanced.
$100 in singles. So when you fall on your face, I'm just going to start making it rain.
Oh, guess 1,700. That's an excellent comment on the chatboard. If it's half in, we'll count that. TWSS. That's what she said.
Sorry, kids.
There's no kids listening to this program.
Oh.
Hey, yeah. Are you have something else before we go?
Yes, Kevin.
People are upset we don't talk about volleyball enough in this show.
And that's actually
hey,
what
folks,
I was going back to.
Give us
there's
topics.
There's nothing going on in the sport of volleyball. Not nothing, but very little. Yes.
Yeah, there's plenty. We could
we covered a lot
like
of volleyball.
Some D3 men in here. We could add some club level stuff.
We're supposed to
yeah,
talk to the Special Olympics. Yeah, we could do better.
Sitting team, was that happening?
Already happened.
Whoa. No, nationals.
No, nationals.
Nationals.
No.
But my schedule's getting
there was the Wounded
crowded,
Warrior
man.
Stuff went on this weekend down in
yeah,
San Diego.
That. Can I get a date for the sitting team?
I gave you a date.
What was it?
It's right after Memorial Day. It's like Memorial Day and the day after.
That's anyways.
Not helpful.
Monday the 26th or something.
Yeah, you're on your own
28.
For that one. I'll be
great.
Out of the country.
Dude. Yeah, see, that's the problem. Our team is falling apart, and I'm busy, and it's not looking good. And I'm not happy about it. I want this to happen.
Laying on a beach in Costa Rica. Good
just
luck.
Be Reed and I then, apparently. I posted it on our Facebook page, but the UR men's national team Chicago dates
mm-hmm.
are posted on there. and the Southern California date location not announced yet.
Except Reed Pretty here on the program.
Yeah. But June 6th through 7th, Southern California, June 13th, 14th, they will be in Chicago at UIC Pavilion. Kevin, you been there?
Yeah.
And then June 20th and 21st against Bulgaria at Hoffman Estates.
That will be an away match. That's what Reed's talking about. There will be more Bulgarians there than American fans.
That's
there's,
really funny.
There's no doubt.
So, Chicago people, get your tickets. Go to our Facebook page. You can click on the link. There's all the information there you need. And then I will see you at the Southern California event once it is announced officially where it is.
Okay, the sitting games are the 26th and 27th of May.
And that is where?
That's in Phoenix, right? Or Tucson?
You tell me.
Hold on.
It's all Arizona.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Phoenix. Sorry.
So
Phoenix.
After, isn't that Memorial Day weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's that Monday.
The 26th and 27th.
Yeah.
Well,
you're supposed to check in the 25th.
Okay. Road trip to Arizona.
I'm looking to see who's registered. There's nobody in the sitting division. It'd just be us. Hey, we could win it.
I'm 100% in.
Just by registering, we've won.
Adult Nationals? Or is this?
Yeah, it's Adult Nationals sitting division. Huh. It is a stay-and-play event, so we have to register here. So we have to book our hotel rooms.
Jayhawks says Phoenix.
Yeah, it's... And is he available that day? So that's the other question. My calendar is not pleasant in May, but
we'll figure it out.
My children may hate me by the end of the month, actually.
No, they won't see you. I don't think they'll hate you.
Well, that's the problem. I'm not going
to
be around. Because World League happens. The World League is playing away that weekend. It's the first weekend of World League for the men's national team. They are away the 23rd, 24th, 25th.
Yeah, so what are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm around.
Yeah. You're going to be on your own for quite a while in May.
All right, so if we fly in Sunday, we fly in Sunday.
Okay.
We will do Monday, Tuesday.
I'm in.
And then we got
Jay says he's in.
Okay, well, that's three. Katie, thanks for being out of the country. What happened to our?
I will be laying on a beach in Costa Rica doing my quote unquote real job.
Nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So we have three people.
Your tailbone will hurt less than ours.
Yes.
Dustin Avall will want to go because he's working on his appropriate muscles to be in shape for that.
Sitting at a desk a lot? Are we in
Oh,
there?
My God. He said without hesitation. He uttered, I don't think
I
we've
asked.
Ever had it.
I was like, what do I like?
Here, let's reenact it. You be Dustin.
Okay.
Jeremy says, so for the sitting game, what muscles would I have to work on to be good?
Anal.
Literally that quick.
There's no hesitation.
Oh.
Dustin. Good job, Dustin Avall.
The one time that word has been said, no, not twice, on the program. Unbelievable.
Jay would like to have our team meeting at the Tilted Kilt in Phoenix.
Ooh.
Boy.
Ooh, the Tilted Kilt.
I wonder if
we should play sitting.
You mean Hooters with skirts? Well done.
Our team should wear kilts. In sitting.
I'm really sad I'll miss this.
Yeah. I had something and then I lost it because you were... I was envisioning you in a kilt. Because
you were thinking about someone's junk on the floor?
No, I was not. I was picturing you in a kilt and not picturing your junk, but this is great.
All right.
That's a mic. Just way to end the show.
Yeah. All right.
Dominated it. You're welcome,
hey,
everybody.
Hey, just remember, quote of the program, you're not much, and when I say that, I'm giving you a lot.
I think we did better than last week.
We did.
Katie.
I mean,
Katie was here, so we did way better.
Katie was better. We had Rick McLaughlin. We had Lance Walker. We also had Jay on AVCA College Volleyball Weekly. Thanks to all those folks for participating. Katie, thanks for making the drive down, as usual, to be a part of our show, provide a female voice. It's always nice to have somebody to counteract the male chauvinism that usually reigns here by the host.
You are slightly more in check when I'm sitting around here.
What are you talking about, in check? You want to bring up a topic? I will fight you right now.
Jay Hossick, when do we start the Title IX?
I will fight all you women you got over there, to quote Riley Cooper.
And I'm leaving.
I will fight all of you. Hey, we thank you, the listener, for being here. Are we here next week, by the way, boys and girls?
I'm here.
I think we're here.
I'll be back from Vegas.
All right. Well, we will see you next week here on the Net Live. We'll probably have more volleyball guests and more non-volleyball topics. For those that don't like non-volleyball topics, hashtag suck it. We'll be back next week, The Net Live. Sounds like a remix.
No.
Hashtag selfie.
girl, I like it. Way to hell, yeah. I can see it the way you like. I can do it the way you need. I can give you dirty looks like the niggas that don't see. Nothing of the one, no, the first thing about your fantasy. And if they try, they cannot do it just like me.
I know you serving God.
Girl, I like you. Hey, hey,
There comes a time, craving will grab your wrist. You'll need it to be, baby.
There comes a time.